Okay. Today is June the 12th, 2011. We are in New Hamlet of Plum Village for the Dharma talk after the trip of Thai in Southeast Asia.
Không có nghe. Xin để âm thanh lớn lên. Không nghe gì hết.
Không nghe.
Today, June the 12th, 2011. Today is Pentecost. It's a Christian festival. Activity for the awakening, collective awakening. And the Holy Spirit is in each of us. It's lighting the flame in each of us. It's lightening the flame in each of us. The Christian festivity where it's called like a collective awakening. And during that day, the Holy Spirit is lightening the flame of awareness, of light in each of us. And it's a day of mindfulness in New Hamlet. If it's sunshine, we'll have our lunch outdoor in the Buddha garden. The sister of New Hamlet have prepared some food from delicacy for celebrating our new gate of Plum Village. And there is Thai Huệ Trung who have the name Chân Pháp Thể, Thể Thông. Thể Thông Tánh who have the Pháp Thuyền. In the list of apprentice Dhamma teacher, I lack the name of Sister Dong Doan. She's now living in Magnolia Grove Monastery in United States. On the 3rd of July, we have ordination for new Violet Bamboos family. We don't know how many person will receive. New Hamlet, they have already a meeting, and I don't know if Up Hamlet have meeting or Low Hamlet have any meeting for new ordinees among those who will be ordained. Have only have the permission of the family to be monastic only 5 years. She want to become monastic all her life, but her parents say that no, we allow you for 5 years to fulfill your aspiration, but you have to go back to take care of the family. You have to feed the family. She said that I am practicing in Long Thanh Monastery in Vietnam, and I lack good. I do not have enough merit, so that my parents need me to support them during their old age. So I have only the permission to be ordained only for 5 years. And so for me, every day in a monastery is a very precious occasion, knowing that I am allowed to stay only 5 years. So I treasure every moment to be able to live in a monastery. And for me, every day is a very precious occasion, so I practice with my wholehearted way I could, and to be aware of the support of a lot of people in order for that collective community to exist, for me to practice. I'm very lucky to be able to be in touch with the teaching. I am very lucky to have simple practice offered by you and the Sangha, so can I put into practice properly and happily and enjoying every moment of my life with the help of the mentor. And then every day I discover new thing, new insight, and enjoy it, every moment of my life. For me, sitting meditation is great, walking is wonderful, and working meditation is wonderful, and everything is like joy. One day, I have so many moments of happiness. When I look at my way of living these days, I think that even I'm a novice for all my life is great also for me. Sometimes I think that if I can practice like that, even I'm a novice for all my life, I'm still happy. But I know that I must grow and take another step of precept, because I do not practice only for me, but I practice for everyone. And the duty of a bee is to make honey, and my duty is to make a lot of flower and fruit for life. I'm aware that I have a great occasion to live in the small community. Around me, all are Buddha and Bodhisattvas. And trees, herbs, everything, every plant, they give Dharma talk to me. Tree, herb, wind, sunshine, give Dharma talk to me. Thay said that, not being a monastic and speak in such a way. And so I try to practice. I learn that the tree is so wonderful to create, so beautiful leaf, so fragrant, so subtle, so beautiful. And every species on earth have manifest in their wonderful way. And I'm so grateful to every discovering. I see the fresh, the joy of every young leaf. I see the maturity of the old leaf. And then I see the relaxing, leaving her body of the old leaves. Relaxing, relieving their life of the old leaf. Every morning when I wake up, and the sunshine in me and the sunshine outside are joyfully joining together. And sometimes during walking meditation, I see the little flower smiling to me. And I say, hello, little flower. And then like we are singing together. Sometimes I walk behind and the Sangha walk in front of me. And I see that on the bamboo thickets look like a painting, so beautiful. Sometimes I stop and I'm amazed to see how wonderful life is. Sometimes when I sweep the ground and I see that I am a manifestation, and then on the sister are already reborn in me, even they are alive, but they are reborn in me in their fine manners and their way of walking. And one day while sitting, and then I suddenly remember the sea, my homeland, where she lived in a near sea village. And then I suddenly feel that I'm sitting in the near of the sea at night, dark night, and I feel the singing of the sea in me, and I'm so happy to see everything in me. There is a deep gratitude to Thay, to all the Sangha members, and today I have a chance to write a letter to Thay. I try my best to. I offer to you a number of fruit I just received from my practice, and I wish to be able to practice every day until 5 years, and I have to go back to take care of my parents. I will send I will send my love to Thay, and first name is Jung, second name is Kong. And my thanks. And all brother and sister of Plum Village. We wish that after 5 years she can continue. Such a letter nourish us, because the practitioner is happy, it can nourish the teacher and nourish the brother and sister, their friends. There is a lot of love in our heart, and then the energy will grow a lot. The energy of bodhicitta, of the mind of love, the mind of an ancestor, understanding grows. And you never feel tired. Always joy. When we practice sitting meditation, we enjoy. When we practice walking meditation, we enjoy and we're happy. When we sweep the floor, the ground, we are happy. We cut the grass, we are happy. We do the gardening, we are happy. Because we do it with love. This is our daily practice. during sitting meditation, we can talk silently to our father, silently to our mother, silently to our sister and brother. Why not losing the ground of present moment? I'm sitting here with you, sister. I'm sitting here with you, father. For instance, we speak to our mother, mom. Mom in me. I'm aware that you are there in me and you are living deeply the present moment with me. There are those of us who have difficulty with our mother or our father. But we all know that we are the continuation of our mother and our father. And if the communication outdoor is not possible yet, but the communication inside, you can talk, you can transform, you can help open. And so you, when you understand your father more, your mother more, you understand yourself more. For instance, the first sentence we can speak to our mother, mom, or dad. I am your continuation. I am certain to continue yourself. I will continue yourself. This thing is not the mother of thinking, but you are continuing your mother. Every cell of your body is the continuation of the cell of your mother. The cell of your mother divide and give birth to yourself. And of course, we want to continue the best of our mother or the best of our father, but not the worst part of them. Even you have no difficulty, you admire your mother a lot, but you can do the continuation of your mother much better in you. I vow to be able to realize your aspiration. You have expectation, you have aspiration, you have some dream that you have done some, but you cannot fulfill all. You try your best to fulfill all of them. And you ask, Mom, what is your dream? What is your expectation, your aspiration to do what? As much as I could, on your aspiration, as much as I could. Mother here, it means father too, or anything, anyone that you love. Your mother have what kind of expectation? your father have what kind of expectation? Maybe your mother have told you sometime. Your mother don't dare to tell you. She doesn't dare to tell her suffering to you yet. But if you are intelligent and smart and looking deeply, you know. And you can ask her too. Sometimes we have the illusion to believe that we know who I am, our mother. You have a perception about your mother, you live 10 years with her, and you are so sure that you know everything you have, she has. But maybe you don't know. You only know one part of herself. You only see the superficial part of her. You do not see the deep part of herself. Saying so, it doesn't mean that she herself, your mother, know herself. She may perceive something about her, only one part of her, but not all her reality. Because her mother, because your mother have no chance to look deeply into herself and to know her joy and her weaknesses and her expectation and her disappointment. So don't have the illusion that you understand your mother, even you live 20 years with your mother. Don't have the illusion that your mother know herself. So the practice of looking deeply, stilling yourself, make you calm, still, look deep, help you to understand yourself more, to understand your mother more. And the best way is to look deep into yourself. Into yourself, there is many information about your mother. The information about your mother is there in you. And you look deep, you see right away, bit by bit, every physical desire as well as a spiritual desire of her. And it means of your father too. It means if the person you want to know. There are people who don't know who are their mother. They are orphan. They are dubbed, or they lost their father or their mother when they are too young. Even they don't know the face of their father and mother. But still, they can discover their father and mother by looking deep into themselves. And sometimes, often say that, oh, people don't have their father, their mother, I don't have. And they want, they dream to be able to know their father and their mother living alive with them. However, there are a number of people who live 10 years, 20 years, 30 years with their parents but do not really see the father and their mother, because they have no time to look at each other. They have no time to look deep. Who is your father? Who is your mother? Even you share the roof, share the same house. And you feel that, oh, I am not lucky. I do not have my father. I do not have my mom. But that is a physical way. But if you look into the spiritual way, inside, in contents way, and so there are those who live with their parents and hate their parents, those who live in the same roof, then under the same roof than their parents, but live like a stranger. And you can see deeper your father in you. You can see your mother in you, the way you like that, the way you dislike that, the way you feel more familiar with that. That is your parents. That is the habit of your parents. They are the good one. There is the negative one. So if you want to know your parents, you only look at you deeply. And then you can discover, you can see your father much deeper than those who live under the same roof than their parents 10 years, 20 years. If you send, if you look deeply into yourself, even your parents are still alive, but you can discover a number of the aspiration of your parents in you. And they may have the same, but they don't express or condition are not like that. Maybe your father want to become a monk, or your mother want to become a nun, but condition are so not so good that they are carried away by life, by other things, and then they cannot fulfill their spiritual life. And it's not by accident that you want to become a monk or a nun. That is because there is the root, the seed of spirituality in them. And so when you sit, we do sitting meditations, you say that, Mom, I sit for you, Dad, I sit for you, Grandma or Grandpa. Some of your ancestors may like that a lot, but they have no chance to manifest their aspiration. So your parents have their own aspiration, but they cannot realize it. Now you can realize many, many of their aspiration. I vow to practice in order to transform the difficulties in you, your difficulty in me first, and then your difficulty in you. I vow to practice well in order to transform your difficulties in you. The difficulty of you in me. And these block of pains, this block of suffering also exists in me. But when I recognize this block of pain, I can undo it, and then I know that I'm trying to practice this for you too. So I practice this not only for me, but for you too. I vow to practice so I can make grow on the beauties in you. I can practice, I try my best to practice well so I can let the beauty in you grow in me. You are so wonderful with all this beauty, and you have transmitted this beauty to me. But when I go to a practice center, I practice, I make it all this beauty grow. I vow to live happily for you. I vow to live happily for you, Mom, for you, Dad. The things you can do it. You walk relaxingly, mindfully, in touch with many wonders of life for your father, for your mother. You can produce quite a lot of joy, of peace, of relaxation, and you live happily, relaxingly for your mom, for your dad. I cannot see all the wonderful beauties in you yet, but I know that they exist in me, and I will see you clearer. I will see you clearer when I try to realize it. I do not see all the wonders of yours, on your wonderful qualities yet. I see partly, but not all. The wrong thing is, we are so sure that we know everything of your mother, everything of your father, everything of our partner, everything of our son, our daughter. We only perceive one part of them. You never see. You see the river passing by in front of your house. You think that you know, but you don't know anything. You only see partly that river. You only can see partly that person, that other person. Even she is your daughter, she is your son, he is your son, he is your partner, or she is your partner, or the mother of your children, you still see only one part of her. And the stillness, the practice help you to discover him or her more and more every day. The joy, the happiness of you exists in me. I vow to rediscover that and enjoy them every day. The Western people used to say that knowing yourself, try to know yourself. Because in you there is many mysterious corners that you don't know. You have the illusory perception that you know everything. You know what you want, but you only see one part of yourself. I do not know all the worries, the difficulties of you, mom, of your dad. But these worries, these difficulties exist in me, are existing in me. I will understand your difficulties and your worry deeper if I try to look deep my understanding and my worries. I look deeply my worries and my suffering. And I will discover many wonderful things of you in me. And I make a vow with my father, my mother, my teacher, that I will try my best to continue their work. You will go further. You will continue to be a good friend of the world, a teacher of the world. The Buddha said that I want to be a friend of the world, only a friend of the world, and help the world to resolve their difficulties. But being a good friend, he become a teacher. So I want to be a friend of the world and to be able to help the world to grow beautifully, spiritually. That is the wish of all the practitioner, sincere, profound practitioner. So one sitting meditation session can help you to dialogue with your mom, your dad, your teacher. And you can look deeply and you can be in touch. Sitting meditation is not to cut yourself from the world. And not to cut yourself from the world, from reality. Sitting meditation is go back to yourself to really be in touch. And while doing sitting meditation, your body and your mind are one. You look deeply, and thanks to that deep look, you can be so close to the world, to reality. But during daily activities, if you have no mindfulness, and then even your eyes touch image, color, but superficially. You speak superficially. You hear, but you hear superficially. One part of reality. Sometimes people want to speak 100%, but you only can hear 10%, 20%. You don't really understand what he means, she means. Only when you are 100% with yourself, body and mind, concentrate, still, peaceful, deep, and then you can hear, you can see deeper, and then you can see the suffering of the world, the suffering that people report to you, the suffering where people don't report to you. You can see all. And you can see the suffering of your father, even your father never told you, the suffering of your mother, the embarrassment of your beloved one, without knowing how to express. But if you are deep, peaceful, still, you look deep, you know, you understand what the other person have no chance to speak out. The other day in Germany, I spoke about Dharmakaya. It means the body of the Dharma. The word body of the Dharma, in the simplest way, is your practice. Your body, the Dharma body of yourself. It means you practice well on walking, on sitting, on working, meditation, etc. So Dharma body is your own practice. The body that you use to practice in working, in walking, in eating, in doing everything. If you are weak, you are not healthy, you will not nourish yourself. And you cannot nourish your Dharma body easily. But if your Dharma body is so weak, and then you have no ability to transform your difficulties. This practice of walking, in your daily activities, try to bring your mindfulness and your concentration. And when your Dharma body is solid, and then your practice is solid. And when your practice is solid, you can transform, you can see deep the root of your suffering, and you can transform. And for instance, so that is the meaning of when we do morning chanting. The Dharma body is shining in this early morning. Dharma body is your body, but Sangha body is also your body. Dharma body is your body to practice. And Sangha body is the body who live with the Sangha. So if you forget the Sangha, other member practice, and if other member forget, you practice. And so we are deeply linked to each other. If your Sangha body is weak, your practice is also weak. So we need to have a strong Sangha, a Sangha who have a lot of energy. So building the Sangha is a very important practice. So you can build up your Sangha body, and you can building the Sangha body by your mindful breathing, by your mindful working, mindful walking, by being mindful in your breath, in your breath, in your work, in your walk, in every interaction. You have that solidity, that openness, that freshness, and then your sang. So building your Sangha body is also building your Dharma body. Building Dharma body is mean also building the Sangha body. Each of us need to have an exercise, and then you give note for yourself. A, B, C. You give it. You don't need to give to me. Who are my Sangha? And you have to answer your Sangha. Who is your Sangha? Who is your Sangha? And then you answer by yourself. And you say that your Sangha have what kind of root? And you look deep and you try to find it by yourself. The Sangha have been established by what kind of elements? And we can answer like that. Sangha body is here. Sangha body is my brother in the Dharma, my sister in the Dharma. And the Sangha body is made by the Dharma. Without the Dharma, we live together, but it's not the Dharma community. So the Sangha is made by me, you, many friends around, and Dharma, the practices. Dharma is a practice offered by the Buddha. And then that is the Vinaya. It means the five manners and the precept. The five manners and mindfulness training. So people live together, but it's not a real Dharma Sangha because they live together, but they drink, they smoke. It's not Dharma Sangha. Sangha means a group of people living together. So if a group of people living together, keeping the mindfulness training, keeping the five manners, they are a real Sangha. And Sangha is a jewel. Treasure. The quality of a Sangha come from where? The question is, where is the quality of the Sangha? Sangha is not a community miscellaneous, different people who try to live together for necessary on money and privilege, but there's no friendship, no understanding. They share some material facility together, but that we cannot call a Sangha. So the quality of a Sangha come from where? The answer, traditional answer exists. Traditionally, first of all, and the traditional answer is Thang Ya Dong Tu. It means sharing the same roof. And then answer Yoi Hua Dong Tu. It means keep the same mindfulness training, same five manners. The third one, they share equally the interest, the materialistic facilities. Everybody will enjoy. If there's a car, everybody have the right to use the car for what they need. The fourth is Iwanong Yuk. It means we share our our notion, our thoughts, our thought, our perception about things happen. So they share the perception, their idea together. And then E, Wadam Yuek, it means they try to discuss in order, E, Wadam Yuek, try to discuss in order to have a common notion about things. And so we have the joy, the peace, the song. So that the six way to live in harmony, but we can add our own. With the practice, you can discover a new thing and you can add. So the quality of the Sangha come from where? You have to know what in order to increase the quality of a Sangha. There are very concrete answers. People look outside and they can see the quality of the Sangha. They see brotherhood, sisterhood. They see friendship. They see the joy. They see the peace. The relaxing way of interaction. Sometimes they sit with the Sangha and they feel fresh. They feel powerful. They feel protected. They feel safe. So that is the quality of the Sangha. And that qualities come from where? How we can have all these qualities? In which way? In order to increase these qualities. Sometimes it exists, but it's not great. So if you practice well, and then each one add their own part, and we will have a better happiness. We have to find a concrete answer, and then you have to see that member of that Sangha can communicate to each other. There is no blocking point. Sometimes you are the young sister in the Dharma, young sister, you are a young brother, but you practice well and you can open yourself and speak out. But if the young brother can speak out because thanks to you who are open in your mind, so the brother, big brother practice, but the young brother practice. Young brother practice have to share deep what they feel in their mind, what is wonderful and what is still confusing, they share. And you are a big brother and sister, you open your mind in order to deserve to be a big brother, a big sister. Keep open your mind and listen to them. Everything you do is thanks to the Sangha. The Sangha give you what? You come to the Sangha because the Sangha has something to give to you. If no, you have nothing to give. The Sangha offered to you a condition, physical condition for you to be able to practice and to transform, like a physical condition and spiritually, like the Sangha offer you a meal per day or two meals per day or three meals per day. The Sangha give you not very beautiful bed, but still a bed for you to sleep. And then you have a chance to practice walking meditation. And the Sangha give you a big meditation hall for you to go and sitting together with the Sangha or alone. And the Sangha give you a big brother. And when you have difficulty, you can ask questions. The Sangha can give you a teacher when you have difficulties and your big brother and sister cannot help, your teacher can help. The Sangha give you what? We have to answer. Looking deeply, we see that the Sangha offer to you a lot, and you feel a lot of gratitude. And when you feel grateful, you are not angry at the Sangha. The Sangha give you a morning sitting meditation, but you go to meditation or not, that is your business. But the Sangha give you a chance for you to do practice sitting meditation. The Sangha give you a chance to practice walking meditation. But it's up to you to choose to walk or not to walk. And so Sangha give you quite a lot. And if you are monastic, your duty is to be present to the Sangha at time of collective activities. And we contribute to the Sangha in which way? We build a lot for the Sangha. In which way? First of all, you see that the Sangha and you are two things separately. And then you from outside, you arrive, the Sangha have to offer you food, housing, sister, brother, and teacher, etc. But you are different. But if you practice well, and then you are the Sangha, you give more quality to the Sangha. That Sangha have more quality if you practice well. And that is your contribution. You are not different from your Sangha, but you are not the same. But you can do in your way to make it more beautiful, more deep, more peaceful. Each of us need to make a text, a kind of homework, and then you type your own homework. And you can ask why their number of brother or sister don't feel happy in the root, in the heart of the Sangha. Answer, please. Why a number of brother and sister do not feel at home in the Sangha? why there is a few brother and sister who left the Sangha. You have to answer that. That is a difficult question who can make you feel hurt. So you try to look deeper. At the beginning you see a few superficial root and you think that you know. But more you look deep, more you see this is quite different. This is many deeper root. And then you have to discover that that root is from inside of yourself or outside of yourself. And you blame the Sangha for that. You don't feel happy in the Sangha. The question and the answer, like I told earlier, if you practice correctly, if you realize correctly, and then when you receive this question, you know, you can answer easily. Why? There are moments where, why there is a number of brothers and sisters feel not at home in the Sangha. They need to leave the Sangha. They feel the need to leave the Sangha. Some. In Germany, we have one brother. In the past, went to the Sangha, was in the Sangha. He's a French. He has a medical doctorate.
Bao.
His name is Chang Pháp Bảo. He enjoyed the brotherhood in this Sangha. He said that I never found so wonderful brotherhood and sisterhood elsewhere than in this Sangha. And he said that in my life, this is the first time I know what means brotherhood, sisterhood, in the Sangha, brotherhood and sisterhood, I mean. Until the day he became a monk, he never knew brotherhood. Coming with the Sangha, discover the sisterhood, brotherhood. Understand what means brother and sister, but he cannot stay. And then he left the Sangha. Why? Why you found brotherhood, sisterhood, but you are still leaving the Sangha? Why you arrived to a precious area, but then you left that area? That is the question. Because in among us, we know that here is the best area for us to practice, but they still cannot stay. And then you also said, here is the best place for me to practice, however, I cannot stay. Of course, other members of the Sangha try to help him or her, but maybe our help is not good yet, and then that person has to leave the Sangha. Maybe he has some habit energy from many generations of his ancestor and cannot transform. And this habit energy, negative habit energy, held you to continue to go around and around and around. So there are people who go around and around all their life, never know how to stop. And sometimes that person do not want like that, but they still go around. There is a poem of Thay, dear friend who go around. You go around like that for what? And the answer, I don't know, but I have to go around. The answer is, I cannot not to go. Because I don't know where to go, so I have to go around. Dear friends who go around, please stop. Stop to go around. The answer, if I stop to go around, I will stop myself, my own existence. The answer is, dear friend, who go around, you can go, but don't go around. You can go, you can walk, but don't go around. Go where? You have to go to search for yourself. You go to look deep into yourself, search for yourself, understand who you are, what part from your father, what part from your mother, what part from the society. You have to understand yourself. And then you can go, but not go around. You have to clear aim. You have to have a clear aim, and that clear aim is to understand yourself. You have to search for your beloved one, and your beloved one is so if you see that person don't feel at ease in the Sangha, so that person is need to be support more than to be punished. And until we try your best to help, but if it's impossible to help for a long time, you have to let them go. If you are a big brother and big sister, don't reproach. Don't blame. You have to see the negative habit of that person and only help them to stop. And if they can stop that negative habit, they will realize the first fruit of the practice is, I have arrived, I'm home. And so we help that person to do walking meditation. And I ask that person to sit down. And we will ask, you ask and you help your young brother in the Dhamma, the one that you are searching for, is not far, is here, right here and now. This is it. Don't search for too far. In our Sangha, they also have the ability to dwell peacefully, happily in the present moment. And at the end, at the beginning of this Dhamma talk, I read one letter of one aspirant, and then she feels that she is happy. She has ability to be happy, and then she enjoys every day of her monastic life in 5 years. Before to become a nun, she already acquired the first fruit of the practice is, I've arrived, I'm home, I dwell peacefully, happily in the present moment. But there are those who stay more than 1 year, but they are not able to acquire that first fruit of meditation yet. I have arrived, I'm home. Dwell peacefully in the present moment. Our door in the world, they work so well. They work so quick. Very effective in the world. But they are stress, I think. They didn't say that. They are victim of their work, victim of their success. Those who have talent, is a lot. There are a lot of talented people. And they work very fast, very quick. But they are not happy. After realizing or achieving some work, they are satisfied for a few minutes, and then they find other work to do. And all their days is to enjoy the work. And when there is no work, they feel depressed. Because during the work, they aspire to be successful in achieving that work. They lost themselves. They lost themselves. They are not in touch with their own self, with their own peace, own joy. They have no happiness during their work. Maybe in their mind they have some suffering and they have some and sometimes they have a vacuum in themselves and they try to work in order to fill up that vacuum, and so they take refuge in the work, and that is what we call workaholic. Because take refuge in the work, but don't know what to do. And if we are in a temple, but we live like that, and then it's very bad. You have to organize the retreat. You have to do that for a trip. You have to organize for that. But you work like that, and then you are always busy, organizing, and then. And then try to obtain the praise. And then, when the work is done, you feel a big vacuum and you don't know how to handle that. So if in monastery you do like that, it's not different. So do it relaxingly, joyfully. Try to discover the joy in the work. There are people who come and ask me, the practice of here is what? You teach what? That is a question from the person outside and ask the Buddha. And after asking that question, he repeat again, he said that, what do you do every day? The Buddha said that, I also walk, I also sit, I also eat. I also clean, sweep the floor. And then that man said, oh, so it's nothing different from outside. Why you say that you practice? Because we also work, eat, walk. And the Buddha said that, yes, there is a difference. The difference is when we walk, we know that we walk. When we work, we know that we work. When we eat, we know that we are eating and we eat what. And then when we do something, we know that we are doing. And that we know that is mindfulness. We do it in mindfulness. We eat in mindfulness. You work in mindfulness. So if you water a tree, of course, first in order for the tree not to die. But you can do better. Why you water the tree, you also water yourself. You organize a retreat for people. You go to Italy and you go to Austria. You go with 7 persons, 6 persons. Of course, you want to be joyful, to be successful. Wanting to be successful is not bad. That is good to have a successful trip. But the success, it depends. We walk in harmoniously, 7 persons, but like 1 person. But it's not because you give a good Dhamma talk, but they see already 7 persons, but very harmonious, like one body. That is the first fruit you give to this, to the listener or to the participant of the retreat. But that must have the contents too. And they see from the appearance 7 persons look like one, but the content, is that true? Because some have joy, some not much. And relaxingly, happily, or you are conditioned by the way people welcome or not welcome. The way people enjoy or not enjoy. And you see the sharing of your sister like your own sharing, if she's successful, even you are skillful, not skillful. But when you go back to your monastery and then you are exhausted. So during the time where you go and share the Dhamma, you enjoy. So when you go home, you continue to enjoy. Don't go home totally exhausted and need many days of laziness. That's happened in our Sangha. There are people who only happy when they have a clear work to do, a clear retreat to organize, a clear things to do. But when she has nothing to do, he has nothing to do, he has no energy. His practice go down, her practice go down. It's not only novices, But also Bhikshu, Bhikshuni, sometimes is a Dhamma teacher too. When you have the work, you have the chance to exhibit your talents and you are happy. And if there is no work, no chance to exhibit your talent, and then you have no energy. That is need to observe, to look deep, and to question about your practice. And you see that there are many people like that. When that person have a job, have a duty to do, she is happy, he is happy. Without duty, she do not feel happy. She feel exhausted. So that is a true problem in our Sangha. We have to look deep. And the big brother said that if you do like that, next time you will not go with the Sangha. Because if you go with the Sangha and you go back and you have no energy at all, so next time you stay home. And after hearing your big brother say like, you feel very sad. And these things is need for the big brother to look deep and the young brother to look deep. If you have no way to help him, if he stay home, it's not good. And if next time you leave him home, it doesn't help him. It's better to let him go. And then the big brother, big sister, and then also need to see that allowed or not allow him or her to go is not the matter's. You have to look deep. Big brother and big sister need to look deeper. And when you say that, you address to your young brother and sister, you say, oh, if you go like that and after that you go back, you are exhausted, so next time you will not go. That is not good, big brother or big sister. And so you have to organize in such a way that your big brother and big sister or your young brother and your young sister can relaxingly and do it. But if you blame like that, next time you will not go. And so next time and she or he stay home, they are not happy either. And their practice go down. So everything is, we are co-responsible. Don't say that is the fault of the young brother and sister or the big brother and sister. And sometime I went to United States 3 months. And a few sister and brothers stay home. And so they come to each other and they feel closer and they feel happier. Because, and they say that go with Thai is happiness. Stay home is also happiness. Because we have a chance to be close to each other and to enjoy tea with each other, to do many wonderful things with each other. And so going with Thai is busy, in order, but we are happy to be able to help people, countless of people, to come to the retreat, enjoy being together, walking together with Thai, on the same airplane with Thai, on the same bus with Thai, etc. But stay home is also good. So stay home is also joyful, going with Thai is also joyful. And so, with Tao Thai and the big brother and sister, practitioner come to Plum Village, we have chance to enjoy and share to them deeply, and they also have, they are happy. And so stay home is very good. So the main point is going with Thai and not going by, don't use this as a punishment. But you have to enjoy when you can go, you have to enjoy when you have to stay home. the Sangha must look deeply about that. Take good care of your young brother and sister. The point is not going, traveling with Thai or not traveling with Thai, or going, organizing a retreat or not organizing a retreat. There are those who know how to organize, but do not practice well. It's not good. Their talent cannot pay back by what they have organized and the fruit of their organizing and the difficulty they cause. This happened to the trip to Asia last time. So those who have a talent and used by the Sangha, is not, it doesn't mean that it's good. And you can see the value of the practice. There are those who have no talent to organize. They have other talent more important than the talent of organizing. They are very fresh, very joyful, very tolerant, very inclusive. When things happen like that, they try to adjust like that. Happen differently like they wish, but they also be tolerant enough to adjust with the situation without blaming, complaining, so on. So we know that the talent is more important than the talent organizing. You have to give to the Sangha more quality of your practice. And then living in the Sangha, you have to see that. We have to harmonize the talent of that one with other one in order to have more solidity, more stability in the practice. The sutra that we are reading, there is some meanings. It's very important. In the past, the monk and the nun do not organize much. The work, their daily work is walking to beg for food, alms rounds, so on. We here, from time to time, we have one alms rounds. And it's very joyful. But if we have to go for alms round every day, maybe we don't like it. But we have to like it. Even we don't like, we have to practice in the way that you enjoy when you walk for doing the alms round. And the Buddha said that the highest practice of meditation is you practice your alms round, your walking, your eating in the highest meditation. And so every step must be very deep, very successful in dwelling in the present moment deeply, peacefully, joyfully, happily. That is the highest practice of meditation, the sutra we read. Our Sangha have a great joy to be able to spend 3 months during our winter retreat, to be together, not going out in order to be together for 90 days. In the past, the Buddha have done like that. Even he go and teach the king or many high officers in the government or many kind of various kind of people, he still keep 90 days in the same place to practice together with a Sangha. So we also try our best to have 90 days of winter retreat to be in the Sangha. And even the very important invitation we have to refuse and decide to live together. And so the monk and the nun in each area try to settle in one place during 90 days. So during the time of the Buddha, there is many monasteries, and each monastery have their 90 days together. And the Buddha used to spend 90 days in Jetagro, Anathapindika, and then other center also jealous. And then why the Buddha stay all time in Jetagro, Anathapindika village forest, but not the Buddha do not go to our center. So sometime the Buddha give the fourth month together. And so the other brother and sister in other monastery came to the Buddha at the fourth month. Why those who spent already 90 days with the Buddha left already for doing the work. But brother and sister of other center come to see the Buddha. So why we have already 90 days together as monastic? Now this coming month is a good chance for practitioners from many countries to come to practice together to enjoy the presence of the big Sangha. And we continue the work of the past. There's nothing new. Don't think that, oh, being student of Thai, I have to organize retreat after retreat is too much. No. We are doing exactly like in the time of the Buddha. But nowadays it's so good, not like in the time of the Buddha. It's very new. And when Thai give a talk at 9:30, and then if even you have a very weak telephone line and then internet line, you also can download, and you at noon you can listen to the Dhamma talk of Thai. And so the practice is, the Buddha make very clear, when you walk from your monastery to the city to beg for food, you walk mindfully, beautifully, deeply, enjoy every of your step. Enjoy time where you see people, observe your mind when there is something shock your mind, and when you have a emotion arise or mental formation arise, you observe them, and then you look deep, and you look deep in meditation. So during walking meditation in the city, you also practice high meditation of deep look when your mind have many emotion arise by the being in touch with what happened in the city, and you can observe yourself. And so you, brother and sister, you have to organize many trip of teaching trip. After the teaching trip, you go back full of happiness. That is a new koan for you. Not after a long trip, you go back and you are exhausted. And you need many days of laziness. After 21 days of retreat, or the 90 days of retreat, We used to say have a number of days we call lazy day. But this lazy day is for us to have an occasion to do what we can do. We like to do more because sometimes it's not a problem when I see that if we have 10 days of laziness, about the 5th day of laziness, people feel enough. And by themselves, they organize sitting meditation again. Nobody, it's not an order, it's not written. But about the 5th day is enough, they feel that, I miss sitting meditation. Oh, I miss collective walking meditation, etc. So, day laziness, lazy day is also day of practice. The day where you have a lot of joy, you enjoy your. So play is also a practice. Working is also a practice. Recycling the garbage is also a practice. Everything is a practice. In summary, we have a chance to organize the Sangha in the way that you enjoy the moment to sit together, the moment to work together, the moment to do everything together, or even to walk alone. You have a place to practice, you have a schedule to practice, you have a Sangha to practice, you have big brother, big sister, young brother, young sister, you have a meditation hall, you have a meal, you have everything to enjoy. So, we have to skillfully organize. First of all, don't practice for the sake of the form. Don't lose ourselves in the work. Don't lose ourselves in the work, even the work organizing retreat, teaching. We have to create, produce brotherhood, sisterhood, enjoy every moment when we do together, things together. The illustration I told you in the beginning. Like going watering the plant on the trees. But watering the trees, watering the plant aren't a practice. Every moment of watering must be a happiness. Walking to the water tap to open the water is also a practice. You walk joyfully, happily. So the practice is not only in sitting meditation, in the chanting but everything make you give you joy, happiness. When you get a cold, you have many pain in the muscle. It doesn't mean that you don't have enough energy. Even you are not in the meditation hall, but your energy is still there. Because all of us, we all have, we could have a disease, a pain in the muscle, have a flu. It doesn't mean that you are losing your practice. We take care of our Sangha in the way that we keep the mindfulness practice in every moment. Even when you are sick, you also practice. We'll continue later on. Today is enough. Thank you.